When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. You're hanging with us all on Monumental Sports Network. You're watching us, apparently, on the YouTube stream. Today is the first day of the new us, B. There's no YouTube. We don't have to click on any links.
There we go.
Like, we don't have to worry. White Brian's in charge. It's a whole new world.
That's the problem.
What are your predictions for the success rate of this whole
You just said White Brian's in charge.
YouTube stream
you
world.
You got to be here to be in charge.
He's here. I'm looking at him.
I know he's here, but Brian is late most days.
It's going to be interesting. He's here right now. He's here right now, and he's ready to rock. You know who else is here right now? Ooh. Or maybe not right now, but on his way. That would be Trae Young.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude, we talked about this, and we're like, I don't know. We'll see. It happened.
It happened. He had put out a lot of stuff yesterday that this was the place he wanted to go.
It's remarkable. I mean, we are in the middle of NFL coaching carousel, and yet the Wiz are the biggest story in town, dude. Trading for Trae Young.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do a lot of Wizards talk. My boy CJ Holmes, senior NBA writer in New York, is going to join us to kind of break it down. Chris Miles, NBA TV, is going to join us at 11. I want to open the phone lines up to talk Wizards basketball, which is something we probably haven't done in like 2 years, honestly.
Uh-huh.
But I think there's real excitement about this trade and kind of what it opens up for. My kind of quick reaction, Trae Young is a hooper. I mean, the way he can shoot, I had somebody tell me when this was kind of happening, he's going to be the best point guard in D.C. since John Wall. I think he will open a lot of stuff up. Mm-hmm. Just imagine like the high screen and roll with Trae Young and Alex Saar, a guy whose offensive game is really developing. It's pretty damn exciting.
It's exciting, and I was excited about it when I heard about it because I know we look at stuff and we want to – I've seen people wonder, is it going to mess up the growth of the young guys? But you know what? No team is built with all young guys. No team is built with all old guys. If he can still ball out, he will have space. We talk about how long of a range Trae Johnson has. That opens up a lot of the floor for him as well. You know, you talk about the pick and roll with Alex Saar. It makes his team have multiple options of getting scores on the board. And when you talk about a guy who say he's a bucket, that says a lot about your basketball team. That's a dude that can get points no matter what. And I think we've had too many years where we can't just have a guy to just go out there. Like Gil was that guy. John Wall was that guy. You know, Jameson and Karan were those guys. Trae is the same type of guy. And I understand he may be a little older than those other guys. But in basketball age, he's still young.
He's 27.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that yeah, the rest of these dudes are 19 and 20, but he's only 27. He doesn't turn 28 till September. It's a four-time All-Star.
Yes.
Obviously, they had that Eastern Conference Finals run. I think that may have been his rookie year. Dude can play. He could fill it up. He's a hell of a shooter. His range is half court. Now, I don't know enough about the questions, right? Because there are questions. But just, you've got Trae Johnson's 19, Bubs 20, Saar is 20, Bilal's 21, Keyshawn George is like the old guy at 22.
Mm-hmm.
All of those guys on rookie deals, you haven't paid a ton for any of those dudes. I mean, I guess Bilal's now in his third season, right? My concern is if Trae Young, who is a ball-dominant player, needs... I don't know how he impacts the development of the other young guys, but I also think the development of the other young guys might be helped by a really good ball handler.
Yeah.
Like, Bob is not having the year many had hoped, I would say. Mm-hmm. And I think if Sarr and Trey Johnson have a dude that is going to draw defenders, it might really help them open things up.
Yeah.
Now, when we first heard about this, we had heard it'd be Trey Young and a pick because they want to dump the salary. No picks were exchanged. This was just Kispert and McCollum for Trey Young. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of to make the math work. If you're just talking about who got the better player in this deal, it's undoubtedly Washington.
Yeah.
Whenever you see something like that, it gives me pause, like, well, why are they giving this dude away, more or less?
But trades happen in the NBA all the time, Jay. I mean, we gotta separate NFL and NBA. NBA, Kevin Durant was traded multiple times and was all over the league. LeBron James has gone to all types of teams. In the NBA, star players move. In NFL, when we see a player moving, we have to question a lot about, well, why they giving them up? In the NBA, that one person could change a team. Okay, and whether it's for 4 years, 5 years, 2 years, whatever, but he can change a team. And I think, like, how they're going to fit and how you stop from the growth of the other kid, that's on Brian Keith now. He has to be able to work that thing out. His GM and his president say, hey, this is a guy we think can help this basketball team. He has to figure that out.
See, I also think, I don't believe this is like, we're trading for Trae Young. He's a long-term, 10-year piece. We're all going to develop. I think these guys are still in just flip mode. Like, is that the name of Busta Rhymes squad, flip mode?
Yeah.
I think you get Trae now because his stock is at a low point, and he has a player option for next year, which he'll probably exercise. It's going to pay him $50 million. Mm-hmm. I think I would exercise that. And then in Washington, fresh start. This dude Schlenk is on the the Wizards front office. He was the dude in Atlanta when they drafted Trae Young. I think Trae wanting to come to Washington, a lot of it has to do with this front office dude who he knows, he can trust, has a relationship, whatever. I think Trae is going to get the looks he wants on this roster. I think it's kind of similar to Jordan Poole. Not Trae Young's a way better player than Jordan mm-hmm. Poole, but there were a lot of questions about Poole. Hey, if you're trying to develop this young roster, how can you have this shoot-first guy that's always looking for his own and not necessarily part of the team? They were able to let Poole play, build his stock back up, and then they flipped him. Like, I will be zero surprised if a year from now Trae Young gets moved to a team that needs some scoring, that is trying to compete for a title, and they get a lot back for him. And I kind of think that's the plan.
What if he does it? What if he comes here and play great thought. And this team is going good and they feel we're going to keep him around? Because, like, when you look at all those guys you just named, 19, 20 years old, they're not going to all be here in 5-6 years anyway.
Sure.
Because they're going to start asking for money and they got to go different places. The thing about it is, I've always said you got to have a delicate balance of young and old on a basketball team. If Trae Young can still fill it up, You keep going with him. If Trae Young is going to bring you a haul, you make that move. At this point, they have to also keep fans interested and excited about something.
I don't think that's what this is about, because I think they've already made the commitment to, like, they've been so bad that, I mean, you're talking 13 wins.
I understand that.
Like, the old days of we have to keep guys around to keep people in the building, they've diverted so far from that.
I don't know if – I'm not saying it's like that, but you get to a point after a certain amount of years, people are not going to keep listening to we still building. You got to have some level of excitement, some level that brings me – what make me want to come and check it out, to be looking at it. And you, that's a guy that can get that done. You know, he can have crowds coming in just to see him shoot.
Do you see the video of him finding out he was traded, sitting on the bench, and then walking into the locker room?
Yeah.
That was pretty rough.
But that happens in the NBA all the time.
It's a unique league, man.
Was sitting on the bench because they knew they were about to trade him.
Well, I think he's played...
he played 10 games this year.
Played 10 games this year.
Yeah.
So clearly he's unhappy. Maybe a fresh start is what is needed for all parties. ESPN's Shams Charania is the one that broke the news of the trade. Here's how Shams kind of explained the Wizards' big move.
Malika, Trae Young wanted to be a Washington Wizard. He believes he can be a young anchor of this Washington Wizards rebuild. This has clearly been a team that's been drafting high. They're trying to figure out how to take the next step. And Wizards officials believe that Trae Young is that next step in their vision long term. And they want to build with Trae Young. And this is a team that's filled with young players, talented young players. They're going to have $46 million in cap space. And so Trae Young being that piece, and then CJ McCollum and Corey Kispert end up in Atlanta. But how does this end with Trae Young and his era over with the Hawks? And it's because it started in the offseason when the Hawks decided not to offer a contract extension to Trae Young. He has this season and next year, $49 million player option. They decided not to give him a contract extension offer. And now Trae Young is going to make his case for a long-term future with the Wizards.
It's interesting. Like, you're getting Trae at a time where he needs to produce. Now, granted, he could pick up this player option for next year. Apparently, there's a 15% trade kicker, which I was unaware of, which means you get another 15% bonus to your salary if you get traded, which is a hell of a job by an agent or whoever came up with that theory.
That agent was smart.
He can also waive it. I'm not really sure why you would, but he can waive that.
Waive it if you end up in a situation you're about to get traded and you're going somewhere you know as a contender, I'll waive it.
Right.
If you're about to send me to a bust-ass team, I ain't waiving it. If I'm going to go to that team, I want all of it.
Right. So. And I think the biggest thing that's interesting to me is you said a buster-ass team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are the Wiz out of the buster ass team?
The Wiz
category?
Have a lot of young up and coming talent. And if just like I told you, I watched that game the other night. And if you've watched this team over the years, they may not be winning a ton of games, but you see a lot of exciting players on that team. You see the guys starting to play better together. They won 6 of 10 games. You start bringing in a veteran player and you start getting a little bit more out of this team, I think they can flourish quicker than we think. Now, I don't think they have enough to just go and be competing for, like you said, the 7th spot.
No.
They still gonna have to grow on that, but you're watching those young dudes begin to play some high level of basketball and they're getting great confidence. And confidence can take you over the hump. Cause I watched Sar play last year and earlier this year, and that's a totally different guy I saw playing the game 2 nights ago.
I agree with that.
You know, so you can see the growth happening with them. And hell, you get somebody in this thing and they start to get a good feel. Hey, those young dudes can run a lot more than those old dudes can.
Totally agree with that. I don't think the Wiz are close. So the play-in tournament is 7 through 10, right? The Wiz are 17 games behind the Bulls. Also, probably worth pointing out, the Wiz got drilled last night in Philly. But, you had guys have to leave the bench for Washington, but I think they didn't play McCollum because they knew they were about to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
The Wizards' first-round pick is top 8 protected. So they have to remain bad enough to lock in that pick. I believe even with this trade for Trae Young, keeping that pick remains a priority. Where if we get to March and all of a sudden the Wiz are winning... right now, their win percentage is 278. Let's say that climbs up to 368 with Trae in town, and all of a sudden they could be in danger of missing, of not locking in the first round pick. I think all of a sudden at that point you'll start to see some people with back spasms, and they'll just start shutting some guys down.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with me that the pick protection is still going to be more important than winning, or do you think this changes that calculus?
I think they are starting to get a rhythm now, and they want to see where things are to start moving forward. That pick is probably important, but I think if they see some things and some growth on this basketball team and some of the talent they have, it may not be as important. Because what you're starting to see is these guys are starting to believe in themselves. These guys are starting to show they can compete and make noise in this league. You start getting some other pieces along the way, then you start getting fans seeing that, hell, these guys getting better and you still trying to lose? You have problems in that part right there.
I think you get one more year of, especially with fans understand. I think if you're a Wizards fan at this point, you understand the pick protection and what the long-term goals are and all that stuff. And I think people will understand. I won't be shocked at all if that's what happens. It's going to be interesting, though. Trae Young's going to change this up. And I was already going Friday night. Pelicans are coming to town. Derek Queen's coming to town. Assuming that... Now, NBA trades are weird. It has to be made official at some point today. I guess it becomes official. Maybe that's not till tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Trae Young will play Friday night. He might be hurt, right? Like, I guess we got to find that out. If he's only played 10 games out of roughly 35, you got to find out how healthy he is. But even if he's just in the building, I think the Wizards game Friday night with Derek Queen on one side, the Maryland, you know, player, Maryland alum, whatever you want to call him, and then the Wiz winning a couple games lately, getting Trae Young, I think that will be the juiciest Wizards game in a while. Not to mention, the Pelicans stink. The Wiz could win that. The Wiz could be favored in that game, honestly. Mm.
They probably should be.
The Wiz have more wins than the Pelicans.
Mm.
Isn't this kind of surprising? The Wiz are not the worst team in the East. The Pacers are. Do you know what the Pacers' record is?
What, they got like 5-6 wins?
6-31. Mm-hmm. Now you have a massive injury in the NBA Finals, and they're clearly going to try to like parlay that into some picks to support Haliburton when he comes back. The Pelicans are 8-31. The Kings are 8-29. So not only are the Wiz not the worst team in the NBA, they're not bottom three.
And they were trying to lose.
Dude, and the
not necessarily trying to lose, but they were making sure that the young people were going to play.
And the Wiz are right around. The Jazz only have 12 wins. The Clippers only have 13. The Nets only have 11. The top eight thing becomes a real thing at some point.
Yeah.
And I don't know how the lottery balls bounce. Like, if you have to be bottom six to guarantee your top eight, you know what I mean? Because teams can slide down. So you might have to be bottom five or six to guarantee. White Brian, I feel like you might know that. Like, where do you have to be to guarantee you keep that pick? Because it's not just eighth worst. It's got to be a little bit higher based on lottery stuff, right?
I would guess.
The lottery is so convoluted with rules, it's hard to keep up with.
All right, Dub B, while we got you, how we doing on the stream? This is the first day of the new stream.
Yeah, so far so good.
But now I don't know where the chat is. I don't know where anything is.
You go
the
to
chat,
you go
we're
to,
gonna have to figure that out.
You go to 106.7, I mean, go to 106.7 The Fan on YouTube.
I'm at 106.7 The Fan on
YouTube.
You
can't find that chat? The chat, it only pops up right there.
All right, hang on. Let's see. Oh, the chat's there.
Yeah.
What up, chat? All right. Here's what we're going to do. CJ Holmes will join the program next, breaking down this Trae Young trade for the Wizards. What'd they get? How'd this go? How did it land that a four-time All-Star?
That looks so much better. These new cameras than that stuff we had before.
Does it?
It's clearer, dog.
I'm still seeing a Collars & Co. ad. Yo, I wore my Merino wool polo
last night. I saw you
eating
your cheese pizza.
Yo, that pizza, the cheesy bread.
Cheesy
phenomenal.
Bread, yeah.
I'm thinking about Jeff Walker's birthdays next week. Maybe we get a Paisano's feast in here.
Hey, we could do that today.
CJ Holmes joins us next.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. The Wizards are the talk of the town, man. Big trade going down with Trae Young coming to town, dude. When we first started hearing about this, I think everybody was like, man, ain't no way Trae Young is coming to D.C. And give it a couple days, man.
When I saw him, when I heard it, then I saw him yesterday saying it would be his first place. I'm like, okay, this could happen.
The truth is stranger than fiction.
And as
man.
I was driving home last night, I'm like, damn, it happened.
All right, our boy CJ Holmes is joining us now via the Rude Guest Hotline to help us make sense of this thing. CJ, senior NBA writer for the New York Daily News. CJ, what's up, dude? How are you, buddy?
What's going on, y'all? Sounds like we got a new point guard in the district, huh?
Yes, we do.
Can we start with how the hell did this happen? That the Wizards, like, the Wizards are in the middle of this 3 to 100 year rebuild, and Trae Young decided he wanted to come here.
You know, this is no indictment of my beloved Wizards, but I don't think the phrase "Wizards are stars' preferred destination" has ever been uttered in like the history of right. the league. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, all this kind of came together really quickly, right? You know, the Wizards are a team that, you know, they've been tanking this year, or at least they've, you know, defaulted in the tanking this year. I thought they came into the year trying to be competitive, but, you know, the situation's situation. And you didn't really think that they were going to go star chasing, but, you know, here they are. You got a 4-time All-Star in Trae Young falling into your lap right now. It's a little bit of an odd move, mm-hmm. but then again, you know, hats off to the Wizards front office. They just went from, Jordan Poole. Oh no, they went from Bradley Beal to Jordan Poole to Chris Paul to,
they just keep flipping them.
Yeah. To the cat who they just traded
CJ McCollum.
To CJ McCollum, to Trae Young while stockpiling assets along the way. I mean, that's just like masterful work by the Wizards front office. And now they got a pretty big piece that they can either build around or try to flip again down the road.
Could that be the whole thing of it? The front office. And I mean, they have a reputation of being damn good at what they do. And also a lot, you know, the stars around the league know who those guys are. You know, can that be what's making it a little different than it was in the past?
I think it's just a little bit of a push to make the Wizards a little more competitive in the immediate term, right? You know, of course, Trae is hurt. I think he's been limited to like 10 games this season. But
is he actually hurt, or does he just hate Atlanta?
I'm sure the truth is somewhere in the middle, Jesus. you know, this way, you know, obviously we don't know when Trae is going to be on the court for the Wizards. He is due for a new contract, but I don't think there's any rush to negotiate that because, you know, guys, the Wizards lottery pick is top 8 protected. So I don't think that this team is necessarily in any position to try to win this season. But when you're looking into next season, you know, you could potentially have, you know, Trae Young, right? You have that top 8 pick if things fall out correctly. You got Trey Johnson, 19, Bilal Coulibaly, 21, Tyshawn George, 22, Alex Sarr, 20. I mean, that's a pretty good young core, right? And that positions the Wizards to be competitive next season.
Yeah. Here's my thing, though, for the Wiz. Everything is about this long-term rebuild. This upcoming draft is supposed to be one of the best ever, right? I mean, there's a ton of major candidates, right?
Right.
If they right now, the Wiz are the 4th worst team in the NBA, I believe, and they've got to be bottom 4 to keep a guarantee of the top 8 in the lottery, and that's how their pick is protected. Are they actually trying to win games now? Like, what needs to be the priority? It's cool to get Trae Young, but then you're not going to have a first round pick possibly. Are you? I guess they have the Thunder's pick, which is probably going to be like 28.
I mean, that's the thing, JP. I don't think the Wizards are in any rush to win this season. I think this is a next season move.
Because if he's hurt, they don't have to play him.
Because like I said, Trae's hurt right now. There's no indication when he's coming back to the floor. And, you know, this will probably be one of those situations where recovery takes a little longer than a lot of people think, right? But, you know, here's what a lot of people have been talking about, right? Like, even if Young's on the court, like, you know, depending on which Trae Young you're getting, it's kind of a built-in tank, right? It's an ethical tank. You know, as talented as Young is offensively, great shooter, master distributor, led the league in assists just last season, Young's a defensive liability on a young team that, you know, although the Wizards have been hot in recent games, overall, the body of work on a young team that has struggled at that end of the court. He's a high usage player, and, you know, that can stunt some of these young guys' growth this year, right? And we all know Trae likes to jack him up. He can shoot you out of games. So I guess the vision is, you know, if Trae's going to be on the court for, you know, extended stretches this year, you know, it's kind of a built-in ethical tank. Trae's going to get his numbers, right? But at what cost? At what efficiency, right? And the Wizards might find themselves losing games anyway. But overall, it's a short-term rental, right? Young could opt out after 2026 if no contract is reached, if the fit is poor. So, you know, they didn't give up much to get him. So, you know, I think it's a win-win situation for Washington.
You make that sound kind of good. Built-in ethical.
I love that line. I'm actually tweeting it out right now. Do you think Trae would opt out and try to get free agency even with 50 mil guaranteed on the table?
I mean, likely no, but maybe yes, right? You know, it's one of those things, like, think about what the Wizards did with Jordan Poole, right? You bring in Jordan Poole, you know, you let him get his shots up, you let him kind of, like, recoup some of that value, and then you flip him for something down the road, right? Trae's in control of his own future too. Yeah, $50 million is a lot to leave on the table, but you know, if the guy's supremely, you know, confident in himself and thinks that, you know, he can now go join a contender after repairing his reputation a little bit, mm-hmm. I mean, I could totally see that happening too.
That's crazy, man. Very, very interesting stuff going on. Our friend CJ Holmes joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC equipment in the DMV. You can read CJ's work in the New York Daily News, covering all things hoops in New York and across the association, covering the Nets. Do you think it's the dude Schlenk that is on the Wizards front office is the reason why Trae wanted to come here?
Yeah, that's probably a big part of it. I do know that front office you know, official in Washington, I believe that he was involved in Trae going fifth overall to the Hawks. And, you know, when a guy's going to a new situation, as much as they need a change of scenery, sometimes having some sense of familiarity, you know, helps with that transition. So at least Trae is now coming to an organization where, you know, he already has, you know, some rapport with someone in the front office. And, you know, I guess the hope is, yeah, that helps the transition. And, you know, he arrives somewhere where he actually knows someone.
I wanted to sneak two other things in, non-Trae Young related. You covered the whole league. I know you covered the Warriors for years. Steve Kerr came out and said, we are a fading dynasty. We know that. Everybody knows that. Is it weird for you to see where the Warriors... I mean, all dynasties come to an end. Do you feel like that's what's happening in Golden State?
Man, the Warriors were here in Brooklyn on the 29th of December, and... You know, that boy 30 doesn't look like he's missing much of a beat at his advanced age. But, you know, one thing I'll always give Steve credit for is keeping it real. And, you know, Steve Kerr has never been shy to say what we're all thinking, right? He's very upfront in that way. And I'm not surprised to hear it because it's the dead truth, man. It started with Clay leaving for Dallas. You know, these draft picks, these high draft picks that the Warriors had through the years, James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, and now Brandon Podziemski. You know, these guys were supposed to be the bridge that led the Warriors out of the Steph Curry twilight years into the future. But you know, these guys aren't, you know, developing at the pace that the Warriors thought, right? And on top of all of that, you know, the Warriors are one of those teams where they're never bad to have a lottery pick. So, at least in recent years, they're not bad enough to, you know, have one of those high lottery picks for a true rebuild. So it's been a little tough. But, you know, the truth of the matter is Steph's getting up there. Draymond's getting up there. And you know, they have far, far, far less time ahead of them than they do behind them. And, yeah, man, all good things come to an end. And, you know, the Warriors are even struggling right now. I think they're, you know, like struggling to stay in the playoff picture, 500 team. You know, they're one of those franchises that, of course, they're always one big move away. You know, maybe it's an Anthony Davis or something like that, but they're always one big move away from being back in the conversation. But that thing's widened down in Golden State, and everyone needs to accept that.
And other teams are getting better.
Yeah, totally.
On top of it.
Last thing, CJ, I wouldn't bring you on the program without giving you a chance to talk about the team that matters most to you, the Burgundy and Gold. What do you make of the coordinator departures?
I'm not surprised. You know, obviously, Cliff was the hot commodity, head coaching commodity at the end of last season, decided to come back this year. But with all of Jaden's injuries and, you know, the dysfunction of Terry McLaurin and, you know, the receiving core and just the injuries across the roster overall, I mean, that offense was a shell of itself this year. And, you know, mutually parting ways was the verbiage they used, in, you know, with Cliff. And it kind of makes sense, man. I mean, that guy has to, you know, go chase an opportunity while he can, you know, stay hot, I guess. So, you know, good for Cliff. I'm glad he's able to come to Washington and kind of, you know, restructure his value, you know, much like Trae Young is doing now, right? But, you know, best of luck to Cliff. I got the chance to cover him when I covered the Arizona Cardinals back in the day. Solid guy, great offensive mind, and, you know, I hope that, you know, if it's not a head coach in the NFL this cycle, you know, maybe he can stick on at the college level again and, you know, have great success. In terms of Joe Witt Jr., man, they should have launched that brother into the sun. They should have launched that brother into the sun, man. I wish him and his family the best, but that product he put out there on the field this year was absolutely atrocious. It was atrocious, man, and I don't know, you know, in terms of, you know, who can replace these guys. Obviously, there's a lot of big names, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, once we get through the playoffs, we'll see what other, you know, hirings and firings are made. I have no idea who's going to fill these positions, but I do know that Dan Quinn's job is on the line. And, you know, the success of this next wave of coordinators is going to really, really say a lot about Dan Quinn's future in D.C.
Yeah, man, I actually just wrote a story that's like, all right, DQ, now all the pressure's on you because GMs don't get fired at nearly the same rate coaches do, and 2 years in, you're now 500. You just had to redo your staff. You better get it right, man. CJ, I know how busy you are. You're covering probably 100 basketball games a year. How many Commanders games do you go to this year?
Let's see. This year, I went to the home opener against the Giants. Giants game. I'll go about three this year.
Okay, that's down for you, man. Maybe next year you'll be more motivated. They start winning again. Thank you for the time, bro.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right, brother.
That's our guy, CJ Holmes, New York Daily News. You can read his work. You can give him a follow at Holmes Scribe. When we come back, we just got major news from the NFL. Another coach has been fired, and this one might directly relate to Washington. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's B. Vincent JP here. If you want comfort and convenience wherever life takes you, you need to turn to Rood. With Wi-Fi compatibility, you have full control of your heating and cooling system right from your phone. Forgot to turn down the heat before vacation? Adjust it in seconds. Plus, you'll get alerts if something's not right. These guys are the best. They've installed new systems in my house, and I felt the difference instantly.
Dude, remember yesterday we were talking about my Pepco bill going through the roof?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it has absolutely nothing to do with my Rood system. I talked to Jimbo. What we have with the Rood system is the best of both worlds. It's called a dual fuel system.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, when it's cold at 30 degrees or below, your heat pump is programmed to turn off, and your furnace kicks on for maximum efficiency. If you're getting jacked by Pepco like I am, get a Rood system. They'll do their best to keep your bills low, even though the data centers are killing all of us. Plus, you can save a bunch of cash. You can qualify for federal tax credits up to $2,000 on heat pumps through 2032. Visit Rood.com/federal incentives to learn more.
Yeah, without Rood, that thing would have been $700. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And remember, if it ain't Rood,
it ain't right.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. As we were going to break, you heard JP say the Miami Dolphins has fired Mike McDaniel. Very big, big-time offensive mind, and you seem to believe that that could be an opportunity for him to enter this area.
Absolutely. So the Dolphins have fired Mike McDaniel. I saw it first from Adam Schefter. This is one of those jobs. I said this when John Harbaugh got fired by Baltimore. I think it made Todd Bowles, and I think it made Mike McDaniel pretty uneasy. Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, has ties to the Harbaugh family. I think this would make a lot of sense for John Harbaugh to end up down in Miami. Now they're saying, you know, the Dolphins have not reached out to John Harbaugh yet. We'll see how that goes. But Mike McDaniel and Dan Quinn go way back. To the Atlanta days, and what I think is even more important is the personal relationship between these two. Mike McDaniel had significant battles with alcoholism, and Dan Quinn is the one that really cleaned him up.
I remember talking about that.
Sat him down, and Mike and DQ have talked about that. And I think when you have that type of relationship, I mean, coaching is about relationships, right? And I think that is a very real thing between Mike and Dan. Dan is now in a spot where I've said it repeatedly. He's put all the pressure on himself. He's got to nail the offensive coordinator hire. And I think McDaniel offensively in Miami has been quite good. You know, there's some limitations. I'd argue with Tua. But if you consider the offense McDaniel has run down there, everybody wants to talk about, especially when Tyreek was healthy, the vertical attack. They run the hell out of the football. That is the Shanahan zone blocking run scheme. I mean, McDaniel was in Atlanta with Kyle, with DQ. Then he went to San Fran to be the run game coordinator for the Niners. He was not the pass game coordinator. He was the run game coordinator for four seasons before he became OC. Then he got the Miami job. If you talk about what DQ wants to make Jaden his best and play complimentary football, as much as you can knock that sentence, McDaniel does it. And so this one to me makes a ton of sense. And this would be the first one. I've said I am really, really intrigued by David Blau. You know, the Lions have reached out about Blau. Now, he has zero play calling experience, right? Mm-hmm. If it's third and five in the fourth quarter of a game, Blau's never been in that chair. McDaniel has. Mm-hmm. And there probably is something to be said about that. What do you think, just kind of surface level? McDaniel's now out. He might get head coaching opportunity.
He may get another head coaching opportunity somewhere, but that seemed to be somebody who could be a legitimate candidate. But the thing about what you say about Blau, just like when you go to fill out any job application, experience needed. How you get experience? By somebody giving you a chance to do it.
Right.
And I think, like, if they're not going to give him a chance here, somebody's going to take him and get him a chance.
Sure.
You know, so that's coming. But what you want, and as you stated with DQ, the position he's in now, you want somebody who has some level of experience, I believe, when you're in that situation. And the relationship you're talking about, it makes you start to lean a little bit and say, okay, I wonder, could this happen? But I'll just go back. Remember, this is off of this subject. the coach, Flores. Remember when he said stuff about Tua and everybody was on him? Was he right about Tua?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think Flores got a bad deal in Miami.
Yeah.
And maybe Flores gets a head coaching opportunity now. Specific to Washington, though, it's hard to not think Mike McDaniel becomes the immediate top of the list offensive coordinator candidate. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You talk about the run game that DQ wanted. And you and I believe there were probably some conversations between Quinn and Cliff. I don't know. I don't want to speak for you. I believe there were probably some conversations between Quinn and Cliff, especially as this defense was god-awful, about how can we run the ball better? How can we maybe slow these games down? And whether there was an inability or a reluctance to do so by the play caller, McDaniel will be the exact guy for that. And everybody gets caught up in Tyreek and Waddle and what they did in the past game. Miami, even this past year, when they went 5-2 down the stretch, you know what they started doing really well? It was Achane running the hell out of the football. Yeah. And I think, to me, McDaniel immediately becomes offensive coordinator candidate number one. I don't know if you agree with that, but.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
And this,
but then again, like when once you get a taste of the good life being a head coach, sure. If you have an opportunity to go head coach, I think he'll go head coach.
I agree with that, but you might need a year off. You know what I mean? Not a year out of coaching, but like he might not get a head coaching opportunity. He might.
You never know. But hey, I can see what you're saying though. I can see what you're saying. Anybody that listen, my mindset has always been the same, will always be the same. I don't care that everybody throws the ball around. If you are a legitimate running team, run the damn football. The object of the whole thing is to win the game, right? So why try to be what everybody else is being? If it don't work, and then when you look at those games we discussed, the 40-something points given up and all that type of stuff, a lot of those times we were gave up a long drive, three plays, we're back on the field. Offenses help defenses out and vice versa. That didn't happen consistently.
Totally. We're going to talk a little more Trae Young. Then we will get to a whole bunch of Mike McDaniel coordinator conversation. Chris Miles, NBA TV, joins us next.